back to the guy who always sounds like he's smiling.
Yes, basically I'm a happy person.
So am I.
And I don't see that there's anything wrong with that.
Of course not. You're too busy being happy.
Well, most of the time. Here's Wes Moore.
Hey, just see this, some breaking news. It's a Woj bomb. Woj bomb. Agent Wojnarowski reporting New Orleans is going to trade for Mirotić. The Bulls are sending Mirotić to New Orleans. So that's the guy that Bobby Portis knocked out, sent to the hospital. So that's a done deal. Future first rounder and Omar Asik in the trade. Let's go to the Fidelity Communications hotline and bring in Matt Jones, WholeHogSports.com. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you?
Wes, I'm doing well. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. What was your takeaway from the A&M game? What do you see as the biggest problem?
Well, number one, they're playing on the road, and they're just not a good road team this year. They look like they've taken a little bit of a step back playing on the road from what they've, you know, been able to accomplish the last couple of seasons, or, you know, really three seasons prior to this one. The big issue, there are two big issues that I see, is that Arkansas's perimeter defense just, you know, it has its games where, and it has its moments in games where they play really well. Say like the second half against Georgia, but they also have their times during games where they just, you know, they just go stretches where they can't defend anyone from beyond the arc. And you saw A&M, you know, kind of build its lead in the, early in the second half on the, you know, the backs of pretty good 3-point shooting. And then the other, you know, issue that I see right now is that Daniel Gafford just does not look like the same player once he's seeing, you know, more physical big men in the SEC. And I think it's a combination of a couple things. I think, he's seeing more physical players. But one thing that I think gets lost a little bit is that, freshmen are a year removed from playing high school basketball, where they play, what are the games, maybe 32 minutes. And they don't play nearly as many games. And so you see this happen sometimes with freshmen, is they begin to wear down. And so I think you're seeing a combination of him beginning to wear down, and you're seeing him go up against, better interior players. And if they're not defending well and they're not getting the production from Daniel Gafford, they're not winning a lot of games. And, I think, you know, the lack of production from him has kind of been the difference in some of these, you know, road losses. Take A&M, for example. He had, 5 points? Well, you know, coming into the conference play, wasn't he averaging somewhere in the 13-14 range? And so they just haven't been able to make up for the lack of production that they've got from that spot when he was so dominant in the non-conference portion.
I gotta wonder, with Gafford struggling, who becomes their number three threat? I mean, because it's great you got Macon and Barford, but you're gonna have to have a supporting cast. Who do you think that could be?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I don't know. Darius Hall has really began to turn it on the last few weeks. I think that his ceiling could be really, really high. And when you think about the freshman class that they have in right now, I wonder if he might not do more for the Razorbacks long-term than even Gafford will, because of Gafford's NBA draft potential. I think, you know, Hall is one that it might take 3 or 4 years for him to really reach, the potential that he has. So he's an option. C.J. Jones is an option, but can he get his shot back in order? You know, his shot hasn't been real good since Christmas break, and so that's the big question right now, is who picks up the slack and scoring for, you know, this team, because it's not a good defensive team. It's not going to, you know, hold a lot of teams under 70 or even 80 points, and so they've got to find a way to either get Gafford's game back on track or find another scorer. And that's been a problem for him the last few weeks.
How do you get Gafford going? Is it a concerted effort just to get him the ball? To me, he had some success with running the court, some getting rebounds, offensive rebounds, putbacks, and really alley-oops. I have noticed, though, let me say this real quick, Matt. I've noticed that teams are playing Arkansas a little bit differently when their guards drive to the hole. In the non-conference, the big men will come over and try to block the shot or to stop the penetration. They just throw it up, and Gafford would throw it down. Now teams are staying with Gafford and just saying, okay, shoot that little 14-footer, 10-footer, because we're not coming off of you and leaving him wide open for an alley-oop or for an easy, putback on a rebound. So I feel like teams have adjusted to him. Now, what does Arkansas do, and how does he adjust to what teams are doing?
Well, the first thing he's got to do is stay out of foul trouble. He gets so many what really look like unnecessary fouls, and it'll put him on the bench pretty quick. You saw it against Texas A&M the other night. He got two fouls, within a relatively short amount of time, and, was pretty much rendered useless for the rest of the half, in the first half. So he's got to get his foul situation under control. The games where he's been able to do the best is when, he's been able to stay out of foul trouble. I don't know how you fix the rest of it. It does look like defenses are doing some different things against Arkansas. Someone even told me the other day they noticed that it looks like they're even maybe playing a little triangle in two to take him away in the paint. And it seems like he has been his best when the pick and roll is working. Think about the Missouri game. That was an unstoppable play at the end of that game. The same goes for the Tennessee game. I don't know. I'm not a basketball coach. I'm not paid to make those decisions. But, certainly the easy thing that it looks like from my standpoint is to get him out of foul trouble. And if he can do that, then maybe they can be more aggressive with him on the other end of the floor. But when he's in foul trouble, you're going to have a lot of games like you had against Georgia where he only had three shot attempts. Or against A&M, where he didn't have a whole lot more shot attempts than that. He's got to stay out of foul trouble.
We're talking with Matt Jones, WholeHogSports.com. Matt, I was looking at the schedule a few minutes ago, and we discussed this, but Arkansas's next four games, I don't want to say they have to win them all, but they need to play really well. You're at LSU, South Carolina at home, Vanderbilt at home, and at Ole Miss. Those are four teams that probably not in the NCAA tournament. Those are games you got to win, so that your RPI doesn't slip or your rankings and thoughts of with the committee members doesn't slip. Then they finish up their last five against teams that are in the tournament or probably in the tournament. A&M, Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, at Missouri. It's funny how it breaks down. These next four are very important, and then those next five, those are games where you can kind of make a name for yourself, maybe enhance your seed in the NCAA tournament. But first, they got to win these four games.
Well, I look at it a little bit more long-term, and I look at it in terms of you want to have a record of, probably better than 500 in SEC play, so 10-8. How do you get to that point? Well, they've lost a home game to LSU, so you have to get that back. They got that at Georgia. And so now the key is to win most of your home games and try to steal two or three on the road. And that'll get you to that 10-8, 11-7 type SEC record. I think playing South Carolina next Tuesday night, I think that's going to be a really tough game for the Razorbacks. Their teams have not – Mike Anderson's teams have won games against Frank Martin's teams, but even when they beat the teams, even lesser talented teams at South Carolina, they have to work really hard to do it. And, he can really get his team to play hard for him. And I think that's a game where, it's a Tuesday night. You don't have as many people maybe in the stands. It could be a little bit of a trap game for them. I think they could go to LSU this weekend and win. Obviously, I think that they can beat Vanderbilt, but the key, I think, Wes, more than looking at it in a three-game or four-game or whatever game stretch, is to say, can you win the majority of your home games? You know, maybe go with no losses or one more loss at home the rest of the way. And that's going to be tough with the teams they've got coming in. And can you steal two or three more on the road? And that's the real key, I think, is how they play on the road, you know, the rest of the way. Can they win at LSU? Can they win at Ole Miss? You know, can they go win? I think they've got a game maybe at Alabama later in the season. And so can they win those games? That's really the key in my mind, because I think they're going to do okay in their home games. But they've got to play a lot better on the road, because they've not looked good on the road this season. Not even in, you know, even in the Georgia game. You've got to remember they're down by 16 points at one point in that game. You know, very few times are you going to be able to overcome that kind of deficit when you're playing away from home.
We're talking with Matt Jones from WholeHogSports.com. Matt, it's February 1st. That means college baseball season, 15 days away. Phil and I were talking about this a little earlier. Let me pick your brain. Arkansas, we know we feel really good. Blaine Knight and Isaiah Campbell will be your Friday-Saturday starter. Who do you think will be the Sunday starter? Who are some of the candidates? What's going on there?
Well, there's no doubt that Casey Murphy is going to be the number three starter on the team. But you have to look at their schedule early on, and I don't think he'll be their Sunday starter maybe for the first few weeks, even though I think they think that he is the third best starter on the team. And the reason I say that is because they play Arizona on a Wednesday night that first week of the season. So they have the opening weekend, then they go out to San Diego, and they'll play Arizona on a Wednesday night. They want to save Casey Murphy for that Wednesday night game. There's not a lot of doubt in my mind. Then they come back the week after, and they play, I think, Dayton at Baum Stadium. And Dayton, I can't remember if it's before or after, but they don't have a weekend series. And so there's some thought that they might hold, you know, their top guys for Arkansas at Baum, just because those are big RPI type wins for those, you know, mid-major teams when they come to an SEC stadium. And so I think you'll see Casey Murphy probably kind of pitching off a little bit the first few weeks, maybe up even until the start of the conference season. But there's not a lot of doubt in my mind that he'll be their number three starter, or he should be their number three starter probably by the time conference play begins. Other candidates, you know, Matt Cronin pitched pretty well in starting, you know, his a few starting roles that he had last year. I think he's a candidate. And then you look at the freshman that they have in the program. Caleb Bolden was a big get for them in the summer last year after the draft. They like his stuff. They like Jackson Rutledge as a potential starter. You know, so Bryce Bonin, maybe even as a starter or a back-end guy, they're not sure how they use him. So they've got a lot of options, but in my mind, Casey Murphy is the clear number three on the team, even if he's not pitching on Sunday early in the season.
How about Keith McKinney?
Well, McKinney, coming back from Tommy John surgery, I don't expect that he'll be 100%. I think he'll be able to throw, but it'll be maybe in one or two inning, you know, type spurts early in the year. I think that he's the type who could potentially fit two roles. I think he could be a Tuesday night starter for them somewhere down the road. He might be able to make it into a weekend starting role. I don't know if they see him, you know, being able to be a weekend starter. But, you know, things can happen throughout the season that changes the roles that you have in mind for a pitcher. But I can see him being a midweek starter once he gets, you know, his pitch count up and he's more healthy. And I can see him being a long reliever on a weekend, too. You know, it's what I call the Brandon Moore role. When Arkansas was really good around 2011, 12, and 13, Brandon Moore was the kind who they could bring out of the bullpen, and he might throw four or five innings in a game and keep them in a game and get them to their closer. And so maybe McKinney fits that type of role. He has the endurance to be able to throw starting pitcher type innings, but you know, sometimes even more important than having a quality starter is having someone who can come out of the bullpen and get you an out when the bases are loaded with, you know, one or two outs in the fourth or fifth inning. And that might be a bigger situation in the game than what you see in the eighth or the ninth when you typically bring in your bullpen ace. And so I think there's a lot of things they could do with Keaton McKinney. And I really think he's poised to have a pretty big year for them. He looks a lot stronger. His velocity's higher. And really since the SEC tournament of his freshman season, he's not been 100% healthy, either with the hip problem or then the arm problem that he had in the preseason last year. And I just think there's a lot of hunger on his part. You remember, he was a top 100 draft pick, and we're not talking about top 100 high school recruit. We're talking about a top 100 draft prospect coming out of high school. And he turned down a lot of money to come to Arkansas. And so I think that there's a drive in him. There's obviously a potential, but I think there's a drive in him to really prove to people that he's a lot better pitcher than maybe the last couple of seasons. And he didn't get to pitch last year, I know, but maybe what the end of his freshman season, his sophomore season showed. It's a big year for him because it's a draft year. So I think he can be play a key role on this baseball team. And he's a pitcher that a lot of people forget about when they're talking about who Arkansas has coming back because he didn't pitch last season.
Matt, it's good to talk baseball with you. I mean, it was good talking basketball too, but I enjoyed it. Man, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Matt Jones on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. He writes for WholeHogSports.com. Check him out from there. We'll come back, and I'll tell you what's eating me. It's brought to you by Eat My Catfish. We got Martrell Spate, the back linebacker, Redskin. Oh, stick.